T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by ComEd. Find electric safety tips and more at comed.com/safety. ComEd, powering lives.
Pete Futek.
Great, with a capital G, at the highest level of grade.
Publisher of College Football News.
What is it that makes our military superior? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world.
He hates your favorite team.
Rankings don't matter at the end because they're just going to put Alabama in the college football playoff anyway.
Pete Futek on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit GLIGlenview.com. They've got it. We've got Pete Futek. He is on Twitter at Pete Futek. He of College Football News has a major college football team with proximity to this city that's decided now it can't really play. Hello, Pete. How are you?
How's it going? I'm digging looking at this couch here. That thing had to have plastic on it at some point in its career before you've using it for your video thing here.
No, this was a custom thing that the wife picked out when we had this little sitting area here off the main bedroom and need a little love seat for the television viewing area. So this is, it's not my show.
It's tasteful. You need that. It works.
It's not my show, but I'm on that show literally in this case. If you want to see Pete Futek, you can jump on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. So what's up with Notre Dame? Do they know how long they're going to have to be shut down?
No, but to take this in a positive direction from the start, this is sort of how the system is supposed to work. And as insane as it sounds that, you know, oh my gosh, this team's shutting down and this team is shutting down. Well, if you've got a team that you think might not be perfectly fine, you're supposed to not play. So, okay, if there's any question mark, it's just a silly football game. I mean, if you don't think you got it, don't play. They're going to reschedule the Wake Forest game till December 12th. Now, it's a problem when you're a team like Houston, which has had like a Spinal Tap drummer issue with a schedule where every team it's played so far has had a COVID issue, and it's got postponed again this week. So they're not even going to start yet until maybe next week. So there are problems across the board in college football, but the rich teams like the SEC and potentially the Big Ten, the SEC is going to do the NFL-style stuff where they're going to put monitors on these guys for contact tracing. They're going to test them more. They're going to make sure that SEC football goes off. But some of these other schools, not so much. But again, look, if they can't play, you can't play. In a world where we don't have a really reliable test yet that everybody trusts or a vaccine yet, if you're going to try to do this, look, if err out of caution. If you can't do it in Notre Dame, okay, that's just how it works. And everyone else who thinks they can do it and is all right, go out there and go for it.
But what does this mean as far as eligibility and thresholds for a college football playoff? Something that already is, by its nature, controversial and subjective and debated. Now, if you have teams playing an uneven number of games, or say, yeah, well, they got that win, the quality of that win is diminished because they were playing against backups because their other good players had COVID or were contact tracing. Like, how can they even begin to figure this out?
It's the problem with my sport is that you're having a playoff based on a judging panel, and you can't earn your way in necessarily, and that's an issue. But now the College Football Playoff Committee actually has to do some work. Before it was like, all right, and there are a couple calls here and there, but really we're deciding between, is it Ohio State or Alabama? Like, okay, you know, not that hard, not that many crazy calls out there. This year they're going to have to actually look at the teams and go by the body of work and come up with the four best teams that they think belong in. Now, if they just want to do this based on talent, we already kind of know who the four best teams really sort of are, so let's see it all get sorted out. But on the field, with everything that's happening so far, I think I mentioned this to you before, I want to have that argument where we have an undefeated Sun Belt champion and undefeated Big 12 champion, and I want to hear from the Big 12, give me on merit your argument why your team belongs in over a Sun Belt team. So there is going to have to be something about this, and look, keep your car on the track. You know, those teams that can't play, it's just going to have to be part of the judgment, but then we're going to go into all-conference play here pretty soon. There's not a whole lot of cross-pollination non-conference games to deal with. We didn't get to see Ohio State play Oregon or Michigan play Washington and things like that. So it's kind of hard, so we're just going to have to basically judge on what the conferences are going to be doing.
Talking with Pete Futek on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What do you think of how the Big Ten schedule rolled out? There are some people, Nebraska, crying unfairness.
I don't want to hear it. You know, that's a lot of chirping going on for a mediocre 5-win program at this point. And look, you wanted to play Nebraska. First, Nebraska was never, ever, ever leaving the Big Ten. The Big Ten's the biggest bad boy conference out there. It's bigger than the SEC, alumni base, money-wise, everything else. Fine, you want to leave Nebraska? We're going to go get Texas. We're going to go get Oklahoma. Like, the Big Ten can pretty much get anybody it wants outside of the Alabamas of the world. So Nebraska was never, ever, ever going to leave the Big Ten. So they're just kind of chirping a little bit. And they're just not that great. But, okay, you wanted to play. You wanted to play Nebraska? Go for it. Now, their schedule doesn't actually change all that dramatically much from what it was originally supposed to be. They could break something tasteful over the idea that Wisconsin's missing the big boys and gets Rutgers and gets Maryland. But look, you wanted to play Nebraska, okay? Go play Ohio State, go play Penn State, be good at football again.
Pete, do we know if some of these locales that are turning into hotspots? Like Happy Valley being one of them, as far as the percentage of cases and looking at a rise in so many college towns themselves, is that fact affecting big football in any regard? Is anybody taking it more seriously now? Like, look, these kids aren't listening. It may be somewhere else now, but it very likely is going to be us very soon. You know, how concerned can they be? Or is the horse out of the barn right now and nothing? And no positivity rate, no outbreak is going to be enough to stop college football?
Yeah, no, a couple different things to that. It's the arguments that are going out there where, okay, is it the fault of the college kids who are being college kids, or is it the fault of the colleges for not being like, what, really? We thought that college kids were going to be ultra responsible and sit in their rooms all day. It's, you know, so there's that, and then there's the college football side of this where, okay, the rest of the world might be on fire, but if this college football team in their little environment, I don't want to say bubble because they're not in a bubble, but in their little world, they're hyper-focused on, okay, don't go to that, hang out at that thing. Don't go hang out with other people. And you're able to test, you're able to do all this stuff. College football is just going to kind of steamrolling on. Look, this started right out of the gate. North Carolina had to go all on online anyway, and students were doing everything remote, and the football team had practice the next day. So the hypocrisy and craziness of all this is, you know, out of the, you know, just insane. But college football is just saying, we're going to keep on motoring on no matter what. And look, so far, most of these teams have been able to keep everything pretty okay. And even when they're not okay, they isolate the guys who are infected, and then they just keep on marching. But at the moment, they're just going to keep on cranking this out.
The dynamics are so different than professional sports that have not only guys who have collective bargaining rights and who have signed contracts, they also have a lot of money. It's their job, and many of them have families, and yeah, they want to adhere to these protocols to keep them safe as well. What I picture is if you've got 80 guys on your roster, the bottom of the roster, they're never going to play. They know they're never going to play. They're just practice fodder. How do you keep those guys in the, look, we're doing this as a team? You know, I know they're part of the team, but they don't really have the same kind of commitment. If they say, you know, maybe I'm going to go out to a bar, but yet they're in the same weight room and they're in the same locker room, even though they're just not as important. The caste system on the rosters has to matter.
But it's not even that. The star players are screwing up. Look at what BYU had to cancel its game because, you know, its star players. Now, have fun with this. BYU had, what was it, like gambling night or whatever it was? Like, the stars are doing it. Memphis got on a party bus after they beat Arkansas State. It's almost, to your point, though, you almost have to treat this like the concussion issues, where as long as the players, without the collective bargaining, without the agents, as long as they know what they are doing, they're choosing to play. They don't have to play. They can keep their scholarships and decide, you know what, we're not going to play football this year because we're opting out because we don't think it's safe. They are, for whatever reason they're choosing, they need to know the risks and then play anyway. Now, the problem with that, though, is they have to rely only on the schools themselves, that they're going to do them a solid, make sure that they're keeping them safe. Whereas, like you said, in the pros, you're relying on very high paid people to collectively bargain that say, hey, there are people looking out for me on my behalf to know that I'm going to have the best case scenario. So the players just have to rely on the idea that, hey, look, even from just a real slimy standpoint, they need us to be healthy so we can go out there and play so we can generate the money. Outside of that, they're just flying blind here.
This segment with Pete Futek is brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been back to Burlington lately? Your store is restocked with unbelievable deals on amazing brands you love. Hurry in today. Amazing values are arriving every single day. Whether it's back to school, work, or just back, you'll love Burlington. Burlington, love the deals. What's actually happening with Deion Sanders and Jackson State? Because he is the coach, and he's taking it seriously. And it does, all of a sudden, the names were surfacing of a coaching staff that involved Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp. And then they pushed back and said, no, that's not true. Because it looked like they're just begging for a reality series.
Pretty much. He's getting the best people. Yeah, exactly. So, but Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders. He's not going to be the guy who sleeps in the office and watches 25 hours straight of tape every day and does all the crazy things head coaches are going to do. He's Deion. Yeah, but he's into football. He's got the great football mind. He's got the name. He's, you know, legendary player. I don't know if that translates to actually being a college football coach, but he does mentor players. He has been a coach and a consultant to players. So we'll see how that sits. But he's going to need assistants who are going to sit there and do nothing but grind. Warren Sapp, Terrell Owens, they're not going to do that work and sit there again for little pay at Jackson State and just grind it out. But Deion wants to be a big-time head coach. He wanted to be the Florida State head coach, and so he's paying his dues, and let's see if this actually works. But it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, because there had been, correct me if I'm wrong, there had been an idea floated regarding the HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities, for all it's going to take is a couple of great players to decide, instead of Ohio State, I'm going to go to Grambling, or instead of Michigan State, I'm going to go to Jackson State or go to Howard, and what that could do for the money for the programs, for the profile of the programs. And I sort of saw this hire as maybe possibly catalyzing that movement.
A little bit. More than that, though, it's going to be the idea of maybe they're going to play in the spring, because now they're going to play FCS games in their championship in spring ball, where there's going to be a focus on that. Then forget now that the FBS teams aren't going to be playing spring ball. They can have this all to themselves, and they can do what the Big Ten originally was talking about, the Pac-12 was originally talking about, and move to spring ball. And then you get the higher profile when there's nothing else happening football-wise then, and you have real college football to a certain extent, which, look, you know, the average fan's not going to really, you know, get into it too much, but the gambling crowd will, so there's always going to be an audience for that. And at least you get a spotlight now instead of being buried like you would with the Ohio States and Michigans of the world once they start up.
Yeah, you mentioned the gambling crowd. Think about the chaos that you're going to have in line setting on some of these games coming down to kickoff and
how about
knowing
now
it, right.
It is the most insane. it's guessing. I crushed it last week. I mean, I went 12-1 against the spread just because I went with all the under. I mean, you don't know. None of these guys are in shape. You don't know. Some of these schools, now they're not being dirty about this with as far as like not telling the players, but they're not necessarily telling the other teams who's healthy and who's not. So they're giving that competitive advantage because they don't have to release, you know, which star players aren't going to be playing this week. The lines are just completely whacked out. So, yeah, this year, it is the craziest years ever for lines makers. And look, if you are one of those investors, if you're a money line guy, you are just, you know, dabble just a little across the board, and you're rocking and rolling this year with college football because it is absolutely insane. No one's ever seen anything like it.
Yeah, not to mention, as you bring up the injury information, that you have coaches who don't want to share the number of positives of COVID, the amount of testing that's been done. I give a lot of credit. I don't know much about him, but Missouri's head coach, is it Eliah Drinkwitz?
Eliah Drinkwitz, yeah.
Eliah Drinkwitz, he said, and bless him for it, he said, I'm going to share all of the data that we have regarding COVID because this is a public health issue. And rather than, he said, any advantage that we may have competitively is trumped by a responsibility to the public. And those, I wish that what he said was amplified more in the college football community, because good for him.
And that's one of the schools that's blowing up. I can tell anecdotally of people I know who have it, who go there. So and Missouri's just gone crazy with it. So he kind of has to do that. Now, on the other side, it's the wacky thing about college football is now Drinkwitz isn't announcing his starting quarterback until he runs on the field against Alabama. Alabama's like, ooh, you know, you're going to hold this from us. But they have four guys who could potentially be the starter. So that's the difference between college and the NFL. You don't have to release your injury report. So there's some competitive advantage, but you're right. This is bigger than that. You've got to release all the data and all you can, but coaches are going to be head football coaches.
Pete Futek, continued good health to you. Thank you.
Anytime, Dan. Have a good one.
That's Pete Futek, and when we come back, we've got some Bears sound that merits a listen right here, because Allen Robinson was pretty strong yesterday, not just talking about his game that he had, but standing up for his guy, Anthony Miller, in no uncertain terms. We also had Mitchell Trubisky assessing his performance throughout the season, some stuff from Matt Nagy as well. There was a panoply of Bears sound, and as they get ready for what's a big game this Sunday, where we want to hear from them. We'll do that next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Once again, they're going eight defensive backs on third and six.
No one down.
Trubisky takes a deep. Incomplete. Trying to lay it out there for Anthony Miller on a sideline toss, and now it's fourth down.
Yeah, that's good coverage, too, by the rookie out of UCLA, Darnay Holmes. He made it a tough throw for Trubisky, but again, this is another one that was kind of on target. When you first saw it, I'm not sure I thought it was as on target as it is. That ball's right there, but I think Anthony Miller's worried about his feet coming down in bounds, trying to possess. Remember the one he dropped in the end zone earlier? Another pretty well-thrown ball by Trubisky.
The third and six, he was short on his route, so he cut it short. It probably looked like Mitch was late, but he was short on the depth of his route. So, again, I go back to details, and 17 knows that. You know, he knows that. He understands that. He knew it right away. And really the way I look at it is I go back to that, the drop in the end zone where Mitch just threw a really good ball. And if he comes down with that, who knows confidence-wise how that turns for him the rest of the game. But that's a part of football, being able to bounce back after a drop. It just was one of those games he didn't have as many attempts or targets, I would say. But he'll bounce back. I look forward to it. And he's a competitor. He cares, and he wants to help the team win.
That's some tough love from Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about Anthony Miller. Thanks to CBS for that highlight. It's a bad game for Anthony Miller, and the coach wasn't shy in explaining what went wrong, taking the pressure off of his quarterback and putting the blame squarely on the shoulders of a receiver who's needed this kind of kick in the ass before. He has needed this kind of push, and we're waiting to see how he responds down in a difficult place to play in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Well, Allen Robinson also had himself, shall we say, an interesting game. He was on a Zoom conference with reporters yesterday, and the Bears' most talented offensive player was asked what the key is to ensuring that Anthony Miller's rough outing doesn't become a step back for him.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking to him, you know, again. It's unfortunate, you know, for him, you know, that he has to even hear games like that being a rough outing. You know, his plays out there, he knows that he could make, you know, but at the same time, you know, he's watching some games across the league, you know, it's a couple of drops. Dude drop passes, drop touchdowns, you know, and at all for him, I don't ever think that taking a step back on one game should ever be an issue for him. You know what I'm saying? Because he goes out there, he plays hard, you know, he tries to make plays, he wants to contribute to the team. So that's never the issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, granted, statistically, he may not have had a better game than the prior week, but he's a better player, you know, than he's been in year three, than year two and year one. And that's what's most important, you know? So for me, as a vet guy, you know, I always try to tell him that, you know, no matter what goes on, no matter, you know what I'm saying, what you know that you've gotten better, and you know that you're still climbing to be that player that you want to become. And that's the most important thing. You know, it's not a week to week basis. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of us are coming out here, you know, regressing or anything like that. I don't care what nobody say, you know, for myself, for Anthony Miller, whatever the case is. You know, each and every day we come out here to get better, and we're trying to get better each and every day, and we are getting better. You know what I'm saying? We are better than we were the day before, the year before, you know, and that's the most important thing. And I try to tell all my guys that.
It takes a village to raise a young wide receiver, and Allen Robinson is part of that. But yeah, he's got to hear it's a rough outing. He heard it from his coach. It was. And he shouldn't be afraid of that. He should embrace it. And if that's what they feel he needs to motivate himself to be in the right place, to run the right routes, to have the right splits, to not go off script, they're still working at it. And he's too talented for them not to be putting in this time. But you hope that they don't just resign themselves to what he's showing he may not end up being relative to their scouting report. And a little quickie here that's of note, because remember Mark Grody was on talking about his proximity to the field and seeing how angry Allen Robinson was, the visible frustration after the third quarter interception by James Bradberry, and just what his emotions are. This is Robinson's response to what happened there.
I've made a career on making tough catches, you know, so whenever I'm not, you know, making those plays, it can be frustrating. But, you know, again, you know what I'm saying? That's all for real. I got to make that play.
Yeah, you do. And there was a concern that maybe this ongoing contract extension or lack thereof is affecting how he's going to play. So it was put directly to A-Rob. Are you more optimistic now about getting an extension than you were a week ago?
I mean, we know where we stand at. So right now I'm just, you know, trying to focus on the Falcons.
So that is a wide receiver doing his best job of punting. Mitch Trubisky also talked to reporters as well, and we're starting to learn about what it appears the Bears want to be offensively. And as Kevin Fishbane said earlier in the show, they're doing what the Bears used to say they would do, and that's get off the bus running. So what has that done for him?
I think it just helps create rhythm for our offense, and it's nice to have an identity. We know what we can lean on, and that's our run game and our O-line up front, creating holes and establishing the line of scrimmage. And I think it also helps them in the drop-back pass game as well. So it's nice to have that as part of our identity, but we want to continue to evolve with the run game and the pass game and just keep getting better. But it's nice to lean on that, and it's something we feel comfortable with. So we're just going to keep getting better and keep going with it.
Well, that's great. So what does that mean? What does it mean for Mitchell Trubisky? And now that he's won the job, in his mind, has he played up to expectations in these first two games?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It's one game at a time, and I'm trying to improve in every aspect. I'm assessing every throw, every play I make, the decisions, and as a quarterback, you try to play a perfect game. You know you're never going to get there, but that's what you're striving for, and I still need to improve every single week, and there are still throws and decisions I need to improve on. And first game, the second game, I feel like it got a little bit better, and then that's the goal, to get better this week as well.
Anytime, kid. You can make it this week. Whenever you want to do it and play that perfect game, we'll all be here for you. Thanks to our guests today, Kevin Fishbane, Len Casper, and Pete Futek. Tomorrow, we are going to have our pre-Bears Friday Spectacular. Anthony Heron is going to be with us for the entire 10 o'clock hour. We're also going to check in with Matt Miller as well, get his football thoughts, and continue to monitor everything that is going on in baseball and the NBA playoffs and everything that is happening in your sports world. We've got Chicago Cubs baseball coming up in just a bit. Thank you to Brian Gertsch for directing the video feed and everybody who was part of our Twitch stream. We always thank Jay Zawoski for his hard work as well. And of course, the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz doing all the things that he has done to hold it all together here. So you've got Cubs, and hoping for, what did Len say today, 3 or 4 runs. So we'll set the bar low, but that is coming your way. Cubs baseball straight ahead on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.